Hello, my name is Andrew Pontius.
And I'm Will French.
And this is Edge Cases, a podcast about mostly Apple-related software development and bacterial immunology. Today is Friday, June 22nd, 2012. What's our topic today, Wolf?
Radar or GTFO?
Indeed. So this is the first show since we, quote-unquote, shipped, as it were. And this is the WWEC after the last week, which was WWDC for Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference. Now, WWEC, a coinage of my own invention, stands for Whole Week of Edge Cases. And what we did was we took the five shows that we had recorded before we were ready to go live, and we released one each morning, Monday through Friday. And so now we're recording the podcast for over the weekend. This would be the first podcast since we went live. And let's see. So we've had quite a bit of positive feedback from our listeners so far. The negative iTunes reviews that other podcasters that I follow have talked about, especially John Gruber, has made kind of a thing of mentioning the 1- and 2-star reviews he's gotten. Well, we haven't gotten any of those yet. And what I think is that we still have a sympathetic audience of our natural crowd, the people who are going to be naturally giving us the benefit of the doubt. So, for example, you know, Wolf, you've got those 6,000 people following you. I've got a couple hundred. So I think we're still kind of in a comfy little cocoon, and we'll see how long it lasts. The most consistent negative feedback has been about the quality of my audio. And I've been using the built-in microphone from my laptop, and I've been led to understand in no uncertain terms that that is not acceptable for a podcast. So today I'm using a borrowed microphone, and we'll see how it goes. I hope this will do it better. If this sounds really great, it's possible I'll get one of these for myself, and we'll go ahead. So, and a few other notes about feedback. We haven't received, again, we haven't received that much yet. I do intend to read all of it, especially if you send to our email address, which is feedback@edgecasesshow.com. And you can find that link. If you can't remember that link, you can go to just edgecasesshow.com, the website, and it'll have a link to it. And again, I'll be reading all of it. I probably won't have time to respond to all of it at this time anyway. That's not the plan. And we probably also won't be necessarily reading too much of it on the air. Just our format is too short. There are other podcasts where they have a whole segment of, okay, here, let's answer your questions. But for us, I think we generally just want to get to the topics.
Yeah, it's I think shorter podcasts are better.
Yes. So my recommendation, if you do want a response, the best way to do that, again, there's still no guarantees, is to use Twitter to send to us. And then it's a little easier for me, at least, to give you a quick, short response. Okay. And okay, so Radar. Now, I just wrote a blog post about pretty much about how all I want to talk about is Xcode. And of course, so now my first podcast after that blog post, I'm not going to be talking about Xcode.
Curveball.
But there you go. So as Cocoa engineers, when you hear the word Radar, what do you think of?
I would say it depends on which side of the fence you're on.
Well, okay, so you're probably not thinking of the device that uses reflected electromagnetic waves to identify stuff. No, you're probably not doing that. You're probably not thinking of Walter Eugene Radar O'Reilly, the character on the 70s TV show MASH, played by Gary Berghoff. And fun fact, when I was a teenager, Gary Berghoff was one of the two famous people I was told that I resembled. You can imagine that that was not necessarily the most welcome news you could get as a child, but there you go. So, in fact, you think of Apple's bug tracking system. Ironically, I don't believe that Radar is how it's described anywhere in Apple's official documentation or communications. The website itself is called bugreporter.apple.com. Mm-hmm. But it's an open secret that the Apple employees themselves use a native Cocoa app called Radar for interfacing with the bug tracking. So that's pretty much what everyone else tends to call it as well. So there are three things that I'd like Apple to do differently in regards to Radar. As with many of our other topics, I don't necessarily expect them to change, but I do want to get these things out there into the world. I'm going to talk about them in order of increasing severity. And you know, I should probably say that there really isn't anything necessarily completely new here, no stunning new insights. As you'll see from some of the other websites I'm going to mention, people have had these ideas out there before, but I'd like to pull it all together and pair it with my suggestions and see where we go. So the first topic, subtopic, I guess you'd call it, is in fact the name we've given to the whole topic, which is radar or GTFO. And the GTFO in this case stands for get the frack out. So radar or get the frack out, meaning file a bug, period. And from what I've seen, I believe I saw this happening in real time. Steve Streza, do you know if it's Streza or Streza or anything like that?
I'm actually not sure.
I believe I've met him, so it's a bit embarrassing. I don't know how to pronounce
his name. I've met him too, so yes, that's quite embarrassing. Yes. Sorry, Steve.
He put out a tweet with a picture of one of Apple's developer tools representatives, Michael Jurwitz, with a little sort of lolcat caption with that thing on it, a radar or a GTFO. And I believe he says that he thinks that he actually came up with it. So and I wouldn't doubt it. And this is also the title of a post by Daniel Pasco of BlackPixel. And I'm going to put these links in the show notes. And the idea being that Apple pretty much really always wants you to file a bug. That's going to be the first thing they tell you under almost any circumstances. And the analogy I've thought of in regard to this situation is that Apple, you want to talk to Apple in your native language, and Apple is coming back and saying, no, you have to speak in Esperanto. Nope, sorry, can't speak in English, can't speak in, you know, French or whatever. Nope, sorry, Esperanto. And you say, well, hey, I'd love to, but, you know, the dictionary's old and worn, and its spine is broken. Pages are torn out or smudged, but you know, Apple is not going to give you any choices there. And so in this analogy, the problems with the dictionary have to do with the difficulties of using the dictionary are representative of the fact that there are some real difficulties in following what Apple wants you to do. And the two that I'm going to talk about are exact steps to reproduce and sample projects. So if you don't have either one of those things, some of the first things you're going to hear from Apple when you file a bug is, hey, you need to provide them. And certainly there is reason, there is sense behind both of them. There are a limited number of Apple engineers. They are busy with their own things. If they are constantly being sent fuzzy steps or not even any steps at all, and they have to futz around on their own to try to reproduce things, spend a lot of time on it, well, that's not very efficient. And there are more of us as third-party developers than there are of them. So it makes a certain sense to put more of the onus on us. But in both of these cases, what tends to happen is this tends to be like a mantra, tends to be like a ritual, a slogan that is sent to us all the time. So, for example, you may not be able to give exact steps because the problem may only occur once. It may only have occurred in the middle of a lot of other things you were doing that you don't remember exactly what you were doing, things like that. And in that case, to have someone come back to you and immediately say, well, you need exact steps. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I can't give you exact steps. So should I file the bug anyway? Well, there are reasons to do so. The most important that I can think of are that it may still provide value if there are a number of other bugs that people are filing on the same kind of issue, showing the same kind of problem with various different unreproducible steps. That can be kind of the smoke that shows that there's real fire that you can't see or can't reproduce. And so that can be helpful in that respect. It might also be helpful if the person who knows the code can take what you did and say, okay, even though you can't reproduce it, that shows me that there's something wrong with this code here. So that can also be helpful. So it might still make sense for you to file it, but you don't know. And so under that case, under those circumstances, it can be discouraging to hear that all the time, even though they might actually be able to use it if you went ahead and did it. The other thing that tends to get told to developers is, well, you need to provide a sample project. And this also makes sense. You don't necessarily want to be giving them your entire project. You probably can't from the standpoint of the secrecy policies of your company. You don't want to expose your developed work to anybody.
I thought we decided with iCode that that's what's going to happen.
Well, what people tend to do is they tend to come up with smaller projects that reproduce the problem, if at all possible. Of course, that can be really difficult to break it down like that. But once you do that, well, you solve the problem of secrecy for the most part. Sometimes when it doesn't, but we'll get to that in a little bit. But again, it's going to take a lot of time to do. And so saying that in every case, well, you need to do that. And it's also actually the case I wanted to mention was, I've heard of people being told, provide a sample project, when their steps to reproduce start with a sample Xcode project, right? So, okay, take the project that Xcode gives you to start off with, and then do these three things, and now you see the bug. Oh, you need to provide us with a sample project. And so that can be especially discouraging, because if you just read the bug, you'd see that you don't need a sample project. You can make it yourself. And so that can be discouraging because you're not being treated with the level of carefulness, with the level of attention and intelligence that you're trying to give Apple. So let's see. The reason why you get this all the time from people at Apple is both policy and culture. I have seen Xcode engineers and Xcode Apple engineers, who are just very, very gung-ho on telling you to do this all the time. And so it's pretty obvious that it's not like a manager is putting a gun to their head that moment to tell you that. No, it's something that they have imbibed as part of Xcode culture and enthusiastically participate in this thing, even when it doesn't necessarily make that much sense when you really think about it. And to show that I'm not portraying this, not describing this from a position of any sort of superiority, I will say that I have fallen into this rut myself as an Apple engineer. And I did post recently about how, you know, I was an Apple engineer. I was, in fact, an Xcode engineer. And I'll put that link to that post as well in the show notes. And one case, and I don't remember the details, and I probably shouldn't talk about it even if I did, but there was one particular case where it was exactly this sort of thing. Someone came to me, filed a bug in my component, where they said, well, here's this problem I'm seeing, but I don't have exact steps to reproduce. It happens sometimes. And I immediately returned it saying, no, we need steps to reproduce. And the person came back and said, you know, hey, that's crazy. Okay, just play around with it and you'll find it. It would be a lot easier for you to play around with it, knowing the code like you do, than for me to treat it as a black box and find it myself. And that, you know, that kind of made me laugh because their exasperation was perfectly natural. I was being unreasonable. I was following the script and I was being unreasonable. And in fact, I did play around with it. I did find the problem. I did fix it. So what I'm saying is that I would like to see from other people, you know, kind of what I didn't do. And this, in fact, so for this particular subtopic, for each of these subtopics, I'm going to have a little space where I say, well, here's what I'd like Apple to do. And that's pretty much it. This is the case which requires the fewest changes at Apple. And it is basically for all of those individual engineers who are interfacing with the public, ease off. And so what are some specific examples of this? Well, like I said, don't necessarily always follow the script. Acknowledge the difficulties in filing radars. give as much info as possible on whether to actually file. So if somebody's always saying file, 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 you're going to start ignoring that because it obviously isn't tailored to the specific situation. There are going to be cases where you filing yet another bug is something which is already well understood by Apple. You already know from talking with engineers they're working on, well, you don't need another bug. And I've actually seen this sometimes, especially in the mailing list, where someone will say, you know what, yeah, we got this. We don't need you to file any more bugs. Or they may even be able to go on and say, well, yes, this is a problem. We know about it. We could use a little bit more information here. Maybe. Who knows? And then the last suggestion, which is even more potentially unrealistic than the last couple, is perhaps they could help with alternate means of passing along the information so that they don't require that Esperanto. For example, if WWDC is coming up, you know, hey, give me your email. Maybe we can sit down and talk about it. I can look at your project. Maybe encourage people to file blog posts about the bugs they see. Blog posts might be a way that someone can be more comfortable providing more information than is generally available in a radar. There's always something you want to put in a radar. You know, and there got to be other ways to do it as well, where you come to meet the third-party engineers. You don't just put your foot down. And again, because this is something where it's just kind of a minor twist, it's just a change in tone, a little bit of a change in focus, you don't even need to necessarily change the culture at Apple to do it. You just need to act a little differently yourself. So that's number one. The second subtopic I'm calling radar.app. And this is because, as we said, Apple engineers use something called radar.app, not the website. And the tweet I did, I don't know, 6 months ago, a year ago, where I said how painful it was going from that native application, which had a lot of the conveniences of all of that stuff, to the current website, really raise out the problem. Now, it's not necessarily worth finding that tweet, but I think it's, you know, I have this personal experience with it, seeing the problem. Now, there's a website out there called FixRadar or GTFO. So that's kind of a play on the whole radar GTFO, where no, FixRadar or GTFO. And that has a bunch of issues described there. One of the things they talk about is the faults with that website, bugreporter.apple.com. And I'll go over a few of them here. It's old. It looks old. Looks like it hasn't gotten a refresh in forever. It is inaccessible, at least some of the time. It goes down. Even when it is accessible, the UI is relatively inflexible. For example, you can only attach one thing to a particular radar you're making instead of giving you the flexibility to attach more than one thing. But most importantly, in my experience, it swallows bugs. So I would recommend that you never, ever, ever hit the submit button without having the text copied to somewhere else. Because you may put
Gus Mueller for InVoodooPad like have a template for this?
Yeah.
I would recommend, even if you're not a VoodooPad fan or user, you definitely want to compose the stuff not in that web page.
Sure, and if you could send me a link to that template, if it's online anywhere, that'd be great. So the experience is just not great. Now my desire, my to-do here, is for Apple to release a native app to outside developers. This would probably take a small team, maybe a year to do. The website I just mentioned talks about, well, it recommends doing it within Xcode. And that's an interesting idea. I can think I would almost rather keep it a separate app simply so that it's not tied to Xcode's release schedule. On the other hand, integration with Xcode would be really cool. You could file a bug from within Xcode and have it automatically include your project that you're filing from, things like that. And Xcode does seem to get released a decent amount of time. So who knows? Maybe that would be the best way to go. Now, Okay, so I just said, well, one team, maybe a year. And so that might seem like a minor thing to you and me. For a company so awash in money and so capable of hiring the best and brightest from just about everywhere. But I do want to point out that it's actually a real problem. If you remember, one of the things that Steve Jobs said about Apple was that his role there was more about saying no than saying yes. His job, the hardest part of his job was not encouraging great ideas that were springing up everywhere. It was being sure the company stayed focused. Being sure that it paid as the least amount of cost that it could, overhead it could, for the work that it was doing. So even if it's just one team out of 100 people, that's still attention that management would need to take from something else that it's trying to do. So even if you said, well, use all that money and hire a whole new team, well, that still means that overall management needs to take some of their attention away from something else and spend it on this, make sure it's a success. So it really is going to take more of their effort, be more of a sacrifice, be more of a commitment than you might think. So having said that, I would go on and say that it still says something that they didn't do it. They haven't done it so far, that there's no indication that they are doing it. It shows a certain fundamental lack of regard for the developer community, that they want you to make all these apps, but they don't want to help you in this fashion. And it doesn't help that, you know, 99.99% of Apple engineers don't have to use the website itself. As I said, I had to transition to it myself that well. It's not a pain point. So there's no groundswell of people saying, we need this to happen. There's no cost to benefit ratio within Apple of saying, well, it's taking this much time of our engineers to use the website, so we better make it better. Out of sight, out of mind. But that is my recommendation. Want to make things better? Take the time to do it. The third subtopic I wanted to mention, I've labeled openradar.com. The other complaint that's on that fixradar or gtfo.com website is that filing bugs is a black hole. You can't see very much information about what's going on with your bug, and especially you can't see any information about bugs that your bug is due to. So if you've got a high-profile issue, something really important, chances are that your bug is going to be due to another bug, someone who's filed it sooner than you. So that's almost going to be the default case rather than just the exception. And in that case, you can't see the status of the bug. You can't see its resolution. Now, the Black Pixel article does talk about how dupes are valuable to Apple. They're part of how Apple prioritizes bugs. So let's see. So it's important. You know, you doing that is good. But that being said, the article does demonstrate a case that I've seen more than once. It says, you know, if an Apple representative tells you, well, we haven't seen this, it's important for you to file a bug because that means there aren't any dupes for it. So you're starting something new. But in my experience, now I'm going apart from the article, what I've seen is, you know, someone says that to me, and so I file a bug, and then it's duped. So what's going on? How does that happen? Well, there's a couple ways that can happen. It can happen because the person who said to you, we haven't seen this, was actually someone who just hadn't been told that, oh, you know, we have seen this. So lots of other people knew about it, lots of other people had filed it, but that person didn't. So that's what that person told you. Maybe a little discouraging. But another thing that could happen is you filed the bug, they looked into the issue, and they said, well, you know what, this is going to be covered by a rewrite that we're working on. So we're going to dupe your bug to that because this rewrite is going to fix it. Or any combination of those things. The point here is that you don't know. It's a black box, and that really makes it a bit discouraging to be involved in it. Now, there's a third-party effort. I would call it a hack to get around this. And that's why I titled this what I did. And it's at openradar.appspot.com. Again, go in the show notes. And they get around this by saying, when you put the information into Apple, it is a black hole, but you can set up your own white hole. I don't know. You can set, that doesn't really work. Set up your own database.
I think, aren't white holes basically stars?
You and your science. So you can save that information. You can keep it from reaching the event horizon by putting it somewhere else as well. But truth be told, now the OpenRadar website itself does not tell you how many bugs it has, which I think is a fairly major problem with it. Maybe I should look into that. And so I don't know how many there are, but I've got to figure that it can't be any more than, you know, 0.1% of all the bugs that are actually filed. The chances that you'll find information on a bug that your bug was duped to are pretty low. So I'd love to be proved wrong by this. If somebody knows, hey, let me know. I'll issue a correction. But I think that this is really more of a political decoration than an effective workaround. It's us saying to the world, us saying to Apple, we will not have our information be swallowed. So, you know, that has merit. And I've used it too. I've put some bugs in there. And actually, for me, it's a concrete benefit, which is if I want to blog about bugs, I can put them in OpenRadar and then link to that because I can't link to the real thing. So in that way, it's quite useful to me. So what's the prescription for this for me, for this particular subtopic? Well, it is the hardest thing that I'm going to be prescribing, and that is change the system to open up information from this black box. And the FixRadar website also mentions this. Now, technically, that would just be maybe a few extra rows in a couple tables in the Radar website. You know, some Boolean values, you're done. Well, in effect, though, of course, it's going to be far more than that. It's going to be extremely difficult. Because you change some fundamental aspects of it like this. You add this new facet to it. And you've got to explore the ramifications of doing that as far as the whole system is concerned. The whole system has to be vetted. You're going to be looking in the dusty corners of this system that it's quite possible nobody's looked at for years because they all just worked. It's going to be a multi-year process. It's going to be a decent amount of money and engineering time. So, you know, when I talk about focus, well, this is even worse. But that's the only way to do it. Now, actually, let me make sure I describe exactly what I mean here. What I would mean is opening up would be that you would click a checkbox when you're filing a bug, which says, I am fine with this information becoming public or at least reachable by people who are, registered developers. I, as a registered developer, would then be able to search or just look at, browse the bugs that people have said, yes, these are public, and see what's going on. So in the case that I mentioned above, you would be able to see a public bug that your bug is duped against and see what's going on with it. Is this really something that someone else saw exactly the same thing? Did they see something a little different? Or is this something completely different? Of course, you know, as far as ramifications are concerned, this might mean that you were allowed to comment on the original bug, maybe. And so, of course, you'd have to think through that policy. Well, is that something we want? Is that something we want to encourage? Maybe allow it, but allow you to comment on it, but then not let the original person see it? I don't know. You have to think it through. And then I can imagine that if you really wanted to make it a thorough change, you might allow some of the Apple developer comments to be public as well. Now, some of them you wouldn't, of course. Anything that mentions implementation details, future projects, etc., future products. Well, no, you can't do that. But if they want to just say, well, yes, we have a solution to this. Or, you know, yes, here's what we can tell you so far. Or here's a question. They would be able to click a checkbox as well. Now, there's a model for this. There's a model for Apple engineers giving back some information to end developers, to third-party developers. And that's the public mailing lists and now developer forums. this is a place where Apple engineers are kind of at their freest that they are under normal circumstances. They're allowed to talk to us, third-party developers. They're allowed to give us information. But they kind of always know their boundaries. Again, they can't talk about future stuff. They can't talk about implementation details. But they can still talk. And so that would be very helpful. And it would just encourage this more and more as part of the regular bug tracking system. Now maybe they would need to have people who police that a bit. Certainly, the people you reach when you file a bug are not initially the engineers who work on the issues. There are screeners to get through first. And so maybe those screeners could also do this as well. I don't know. But there would certainly be ways to modify the existing roles to cover this, but it would be a change and it would be something that people would have to get used to. But if you did all that, then you solve a lot of these problems. People get to see a little bit more of what's going on underneath the hood. And I actually think it would become a bit of a virtuous cycle, because what would happen is it would start to become a status symbol for your bug to be something that other people can rely on for its information. So you would have the incentive, in the same way that open source developers have an incentive, you would have an incentive to make your stuff public in order to get the fame and glory, in order to get the kudos of other people. Hey, they wrote this bug really well. Hey, they uncovered a really important issue. So you would be encouraged to do more. Now, in the same way that people are discouraged from doing more now because it's a black box and that reinforces itself, they'll be encouraged by opening up. So that is those are my three suggestions for Apple. And we'll see. Again, not expecting them to necessarily do anything about it, but I wanted to put it all together. So yeah. Any thoughts?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would say about the idea of adding a column to the tables, whether marking things as public, essentially kind of Apple taking the role of the open radar kind of role. I think that could be a very easy thing for them to do. Because that's totally on the developer side. I want to make this public, and we're effectively doing it today with Open Radar. That's fine. But in terms of then the discussion thereof, I feel that Apple wouldn't want the idea that, we already have main lists, we already have Stack Overflow, we already have these, public channels where Apple developers can talk to you. Like, Radar is the place where Apple engineers know they're safe, they can talk about the next version of iOS or Mac OS X. So I think that they'd be very hesitant to, have that cognitive overload, overhead of looking at the Radar window and seeing whether it's, has the submitter marked this as public. They just know that everything that's coming to Radar is private. And that's powerful. And it definitely would add a cognitive cost to this. And I don't know if it's worth it.
Sure. That makes sense. One thing that I was thinking of mentioning was the way that in dev forums, now most of the dev forums posts, most of the sections of the dev forums are open to everyone who pays the money. There are some sections which are closed and which are specially NDA for future products, for example. And one thing that I have heard about these is that because the NDA sections are more private, Apple engineers are more willing to talk freely there than they are elsewhere. But what that means is you can't then open up those sections to everyone when the product goes public because people said more than they should have. So that's an interesting thing.
I'm actually glad you mentioned the dev forums, because that's one of the things that, Apple has these, quote-unquote private dev forums. You pay $100 a year, get access to them. So when they're discussing 10.7, all that information has now been made in public. But the engineering information that's in the dev forums has never been, the big switch has not been thrown on it to make those, publicly crawlable by Google or what have you. And so you still, this is in Apple's interest that, if you want to see that, you have to be an Apple developer member. And why, and so, it is Apple's assumption that if you're going to play ball with them, you're just, you know, going to pay the $100 a year for the Mac or iOS, or $200 a year if you're both, like a lot of us are. And yeah, so it's I really wish they would flip that bit and make these things public after the technology has been made public. But as you're right, it says sometimes those loose lips are a bit too loose and mention other things they shouldn't, and so there are a lot of practical problems with doing that.
Well, and as I mentioned, there are places in the forums that have never been NDA'd any more than just saying, well, you have to be a paid developer to get to them. So this same idea might apply. You might say, well, eventually we could just, you know, let's say a month later or something, you could just say, well, we'll always make that stuff public. And I think it's pretty important. Like, I found Stack Overflow, especially once the dev forums got started, Stack Overflow took over the same role that the mailing list had used to fulfill. Because people stopped talking about a lot of stuff on the mailing lists because they were going to the dev forums, because that's where the Apple engineers were.
Right.
But you know, you can't search these dev forums. Apple has just never proven that it can really make that information available in the most optimal means. You know, if I search for virtually any Apple problem, I can find the answer on Stack Overflow quite quickly for general problems, maybe not the really, really, really specific ones. But if you try to do the same sort of search in Apple's dev forums, well, it's not really optimized for that. They just haven't been able to give it that really best organizational effort that, you know, the web does, that Google does. And so it would, you know, if the goal is to give the information, give the answers to developers, yeah, they should open up because they can't do it. But I just said that may not be their goal.
Right. The information in the developer forums, even though I have access to it, you know, when I hit a problem, I Google it and I check the first page of hits there. And, you know, it's pretty rare that I even think about searching the dev forums. And what I do is obviously a lot slower, a lot more painful, and a lot more things to weed through manually. So I have to be really desperate, and I have to even think of it.
Yep. So, but any thoughts on the rest of it? Like, would you want to see radar filing in Xcode?
Yeah, I was thinking about that, and I totally get your idea about, you know, the hindrance of tying to a release cycle there, the Xcode release cycle. But yeah, I think it's probably, I mean, it's obvious, you know, how much longer do you think Instruments is going to be its own app? You know, it's everything is, we seem to be going back to this black hole theme a lot, but it definitely, you know, Xcode has this massive center of gravity and is pulling everything in, and so a bug reporter in there is just another sort of swoopy pane that's going to be coming out. So why not?
You mean PAIM?
That's right.
Well, and then another reason that I was thinking of as well is a political reason to hitch it to Xcode, in that Xcode is the shiny newness, right? If you were to make another application, that would be an invitation for something to be ignored, in the same way that bug reporter is currently being ignored. But if you throw it into the new hotness, as the kids say, it would at least have more of a chance of being updated, of being part of something that's really important to the company. Mm-hmm. So that was one of my thoughts as well.
Okay. And I also want to mention, I know that we talked about how you pretty much don't file radars anymore, and I don't. Just because, and I want to talk a little bit about that. I don't want to go into it too much, but it's pretty much, I actually do still file radars, but not nearly as many as I used to. And it's more of like I don't do the carpet bombing style radar, where it's just like, you know, I have a new piece of software in front of me, I start seeing problems, or there's a deep problem that I haven't seen before. Instead, and I, you know, file a bug, I hope it gets to the right place. Instead, the only times I really file a bug is when an Apple engineer has asked me personally to file a bug. And
right.
And yeah. He's like, could you file this bug for me and give me the radar number? I'm like, okay, for you, I'll do it.
Uh-huh.
And so I think it's this entire idea about filing a bug to take up an hour and change my time just to, so that it can be wind up in some select count statement in SQL query so that some middle manager can prioritize. I don't buy that. It's not worth my time.
Yeah. So have you read that that Black Pixel article?
I did.
So that article is pretty pro-Apple, in the sense that it's not really saying don't do this. Not really whining about it. It's just kind of trying to, you know, say, well, let's lay out the reasons why you should.
Right. I'm glad Pasco wrote it up because he's outside of Apple and he can provide that line. And Matt Drance also provided a similar line once he escaped the mothership there.
Right.
And, you know, but the thing is, we've both been on the other side of radar reading bugs and fixing things. And, you know, and actually, I don't know if Matt Drance or Pasco has, but I still, even with all this knowledge, I still say it's not worth my time to do it.
Yeah, I think it makes sense to be more realistic about it. It's certainly, you know, the public service announcement kind of thing gives you the information, gives you the reasoning behind it. But yeah, you've got to decide yourself what you're willing to put into it. And yeah, I think, you know, it's kind of gone through a lot of the reasons why you may decide that you don't want to under the current circumstances due to the benefit to you personally versus what Apple wants to get out of it.
Yep. It's definitely kind of bias in Apple's favor then.
Right. Yep. Okay. So I think that'll cover it for today. So if you want to send us some feedback or to see the show notes for this episode or download other episodes or even sign up for us on iTunes, thankfully the iTunes feed is working now. Woo! Go to your web browser and type in edgecasesshow.com, all one word, cases plural. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.